Okay, I'm going to record this, as always. This is the continuity of scripture class that meets on Sunday morning, and we're in a study about resurrection from the Hebrew scriptures. And actually, this is part two from last week, and so I think this is, it's really week three. I'm all confused. So, because I didn't have a handout that we gave out last week, this is really the continuation. So, this is why this is confusing as far as...
the answer to my prayer. Because I was trying to figure out how all of these feasts connected.
Okay, well, we're looking at, I almost had a chart of all the feasts, but I had a feeling that because we're only going to look at three today, there would be those of you who would be reading the chart and not listening to anything else. So, and especially if it's new to you, you know. But, and I guess I won't give you the reason why I'm doing this right now when we get to it in our class time. I'll give you the reason, what I'm settling on. I'm very settled on sharing with you today. But last week, if you weren't here, you know that, you don't know that on Resurrection Sunday, my mind was thinking of Feast of First Fruits on the Saturday before Resurrection Sunday and on Resurrection Sunday. So when we were in Worship Center at Scottsdale Bible, Vera came up to my friend Wendy and myself. Vera, who is in the worship team, she's in the choir, everybody knows Vera, she's all over Facebook, etc. How many of you know Vera? Okay. And she said, there's a Jewish man up there, as she was looking at us. And she pointed, and I saw someone standing in the front, and that's who she was pointing to. I verified that. So I thought, okay, I got 15 minutes before the service starts, I'm going to go up to talk to him. And I thought, wow, I could wish him happy Feast of First Fruits. I mean, I don't know what he knows. So I went up to him and I said, hi. I said, happy Feast of First Fruits. That's a Jewish holiday, and that's the day when Jesus rose from the dead. Like, I knew that they didn't know what I was talking about. But they were smiling. He was smiling, and his wife was smiling. And I don't want to get into too much detail because I did hear. But I thought, okay, Feast of First Fruits. And we talked further and et cetera, et cetera. So I thought, I think it would be good, because I knew that we were going to talk about resurrection. It would be good to look at what these feasts, how do we know that the Feast of First Fruits is the day that Jesus rose from the dead? Okay, so go, open your Bibles and turn to Leviticus 23. Verses 4 to 11. Leviticus 23. And how many of you have never done a study on the feasts? Okay, Karen has that. Pat, have you? You've not done a study.
I've listened to your videos, but I haven't.
Oh, okay. Well, the feasts are hard. Bobby said that it took seven different times to hear a lesson on the feasts to get part of it, right? Didn't you say that years ago?
Well, every time you do it, there's additional information that I'm able to
bring. Yeah, well, to me too.
Leviticus 23 to bring two unsaved Jewish girls to Jesus.
Yes.
Just using Leviticus 23.
Right. Two unsaved Jewish teenagers, ultra-Orthodox, Russian, and they were asking questions about Jesus, talked with them on the phone, each for an hour, and they came to faith, so, and grew in the Lord. So, okay, so 23, Leviticus 23, 4 to 11, it says, these are the feasts of the Lord, holy convocations, which you shall proclaim at their appointed times. And in some translations, holy convocations, holy appointments. These are God's appointed times. That means something, doesn't it? If it says God's appointed time. On the 14th day, of the first month at twilight is the Lord's Passover, and on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread to the Lord. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it, but you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord for 7 days. The seventh day shall be a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it. Verse 9, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land which I give to you, very important phrase there, and reap its harvest, then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest. He shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted on your behalf. On the day after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. Okay? So what are we looking at? We're looking at Passover first. And what's the day? What's the date of Passover? 14th day. And actually, I used to say the 14th. It's the 14th day of the first month on the Jewish religious calendar. Mm-hmm. We tend to call it Nisan. But in Moses' day, it was Abib or Aviv, okay? It didn't become Nisan until time of Nehemiah, in that time frame, because Nisan is a Babylonian word, and Aviv is a Canaanite word, all right? So the 14th day of the first month, that's the day after they brought the lambs into the homes on the 10th day, that they had determined which lambs were spotless, and then they killed those lambs on the 14th day of that month. And now when we know that feast in the Hebrew is the word moed, and it means appointed, that the fulfillment of each feast must be carried out on the same day as the feast. And really, we know that as we go through scripture. Because we know, and as we go through history, we know that Jesus was crucified on the 14th day of the first month on the Jewish religious calendar. And Jesus shed his blood, the perfect Passover lamb shed his blood on the same day that as he was being crucified, he was on the cross from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. As he was being crucified, those animal Passover lambs that were brought into the temple, and in Jesus' time there were about 256,500 lambs that had been brought into Jerusalem. Well, be it all 256,500, or maybe there were some whittled away because of spots and blemishes being found on them. But the point to emphasize is that while he was being crucified, the lambs, the animal lambs, were being slain in the temple from 9 a.m. in the morning to 3 p.m. in the afternoon. Michelle?
I have a question about that, because my understanding is that Passover happened at
the night before.
So weren't the families to just slaughter and eat their lamb that evening? So
Some did. So Jesus did.
Yeah, so why would all of those lambs have been between 9 and 3, would they have all been the evening before?
Some of them did.
For
some
Passover,
of them,
that's confusing to me.
It is confusing. It is.
For Passover, those lambs should have all been killed and eaten the evening before.
No,
Passover.
No, from Edersheim's books, it's talking about from 9 o'clock in the morning to 3 p.m. in the afternoon. Okay. But there were some homes I had read that killed their own lambs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And just a second, Lori. And then two, the Essenes. Why did Jesus have that Passover feast? Even though it was Passover, it started at sundown the night before 14th of Nisan, because that really was the 14th of Nisan in Jewish reckoning, okay?
Right.
So, but there's some who say that the Essenes did that. And there's a portion in the Gospels that tell us when Jesus said to the two disciples to go and find a place where we can have the Passover, and you will find a man carrying a pitcher. Some people say, well, men don't carry pitchers, and that was telling us, excuse me, that he was an Essene, okay? So there were different, there were so many different types of Jewish people in Jesus' day that you have different ways that they celebrated. But according, what I'm saying, according to Leviticus 23, it's the 14th day of the first month. So, okay. Lori?
You said it. Sundown to sundown.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. So it was the 14th. It still was the 14th. Yeah. Yeah. So, but you're saying your biggest thought is how could then all those lambs have been slaughtered and waited until the next day when Jesus was on the cross? That's what your problem, that your question is. Huh?
They could have started at sundown.
But then I had thought that I had read that they didn't start at sundown.
Can I draw a picture on the board to help understand what I'm thinking in my mind?
Okay. What were you going to say, David?
I was just going to say, the Last Supper, Passover, was at 9.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
Step one.
But the thing is, that could have been a seen version, all right? And they might have slaughtered their own lambs, you know?
So if the sun goes down here, that's when the 14th starts.
Uh-huh.
So this is when they would have killed their lamb to eat it.
Right.
And so in my mind, that's when Jesus and the disciples did that.
Right.
So that's when everyone should have done that. And then his trial went all here, and he died here. So I don't understand.
Oh, you're thinking
why
he died at 9 a.m.?
Or whatever time, 3 p.m. 3 here. But he was crucified here, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm. It's still the same day.
Yeah, so it's still the 14th
right.
until
right.
here. Right. So why would all of the lambs have been killed here? They would have all killed their lambs and eaten them the same time Jesus sent his.
That's,
you know what I mean?
No, because so many were killing their own lambs, okay? And
yeah.
then there's information about 144 priests being set up in the temple to be able to kill all those lambs that
okay.
were brought into Jerusalem
the
in the time frame.
Starting at 9 a.m., that's on the 14th.
That's on the 14th.
Yeah.
Just
so
as the supper, as the Passover in the upper room, that was on the 14th of that first month as well. When they met for the Passover Seder, there are people who will say the Last Supper wasn't a Passover. It was a Passover because Jesus said, okay, Passover is upon us, basically, he said to the disciples, and we must find a place to have the Passover. So the Last Supper was a Passover. Okay.
Yeah.
But his Passover, Jesus' Passover, was the 24 hours
earlier.
It would have still been what Michelle drew out.
It
was sundown.
Okay, so the 13th.
No.
No, that was the 14th. That's
so it would have to start at midnight.
Okay.
Yeah, when the sun goes down.
Well, then what is the Essenes?
Essenes are a community. No, this is not where we're supposed to
go
at all. No, it's okay, because we don't.
I apologize.
No,
I lost
we don't. The Essenes were a religious community, so religious, and they called the Messiah teacher. And you'll find that verbiage in the Gospels, too, where the teacher wants us to have, you know, the Seder. And the Essenes, per the information I had read, would have the Seder dinner before the Seder dinner that a lot of the Jewish people had, believe it or not, like at 3 o'clock, after 3 o'clock. Some of them had to if the lambs were killed, but you're saying no.
Well, I'm just saying it could have been a continuum.
Yeah.
They could have started at sunset.
Yeah. Oh, I see what you're saying. Then what about those 144 priests? So, you know, there's a lot of conjecture. There's a lot of conjecture.
Is there a distinction between killing your own versus offering the sacrifice in the temple, perhaps? You know, we don't always eat those lambs that are sacrificed in the temple. And also, keeping in mind, though, the Passover happened, none of this was an issue, right? Like, there were
right.
rules then.
Right.
So, God directed everyone to kill the lambs. That was the first time.
Wait a minute, say that again?
Well, you know, at the original Passover, when it happened, there weren't any rules.
Oh, back in Moses' day. Right.
When Jesus was observing.
Right.
That was different.
Right, way different. I mean, and the rabbis had gotten into the fray as well, so there were a lot of... So when you read...
I'm so sorry, I got you off track.
No, okay. So what I want to bring out is the Passover was to be celebrated on the 14th of the first month of the year on the religious calendar. And because Jesus' crucifixion is the fulfillment of Passover, what I had just said before is each feast must be fulfilled on the same day of the feast. That's so important for us to realize. So Paul could write in 1 Corinthians 5:7, Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us. All right? Unleavened bread is, talk about continuation, unleavened bread is a continuum, okay? It's a separate feast. It's its own separate feast. And it occurs on what day?
15th.
It starts on the 15th day of the first month. And it was at that day that God rescued the Jewish people from the first feast of unleavened bread from Egypt and separated them from bondage to slavery. And actually, Egypt has been seen as a picture of the world in Scripture. You see it in Isaiah 30, you see it in Isaiah 31. And the world is defiled, okay? So, and on the 15th, what's really interesting, maybe to further convey that the Jewish day starts at sundown, go to Matthew, okay? But we're now going to talk about Jesus being buried in an empty tomb in which no body had ever been put. So, and he, in Psalm 16:10, when David is praying to God, he says, Lord, you shall not allow your Holy One to see corruption. Holy One meaning Jesus. And actually, I have a new... We'll get into 16:10 another time. But so he could not see defilement. And isn't it of God that Joseph of Arimathea said, here, use to Pilate, use my tomb. It's an empty tomb. So, okay, I'm going into Matthew, probably 28. Let's see. Hang on across. Okay, yeah. It's Matthew 27. It's Matthew 27, verse 57. Matthew 27, verse 57. Okay, so they take Jesus down, his body down from the cross. And it then says in 57 of Matthew 27, now when evening had come, okay, that's the next day. That's the next day. So that's a sample, that's an example of how the time frame went in Jesus, in all Jewish timelines, because it was at sundown always, and until the sun went down the next day, all right? So that was the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Feast of First Fruits, on the day after the Sabbath week. You'll note that when you go back to Leviticus, if you veered from Leviticus like I have here, and went to Matthew, it does not have a date. It does not, like Passover, you see the 14th day, and unleavened bread, you have the 15th day. There's no date for Feast of First Fruits. Why? Because it's the day after the Sabbath in the week of Passover. So that date is going to change. So when you see people so adamantly state, well, on the 17th of that first month, that was when first fruits. In Jesus' day, it was that way. But going forward, because the feasts were continually observed, it had to be on the day after Sabbath. Sabbath always being Saturday. So it was the Sunday of that Passover, which means what? It was Jesus' resurrection. Jesus' resurrection. Now, some people might say, yeah, but you know, you went through Passover, you went through unleavened bread. Maybe this Feast of First Fruits was a month or something after. No, because when you read through the feasts sequentially and you see that the next feast is the Feast of Weeks, it happens at a different time of harvest. This Feast of First Fruits is after the Sabbath, the Sunday after the Sabbath in Passover week. So you've got 3 days and three nights, and Jesus rises from the dead. Okay?
For 7 days, present a food offering to the Lord. That's the feast of unleavened bread. And then on the seventh day, hold a sacred assembly and do
So this is a backtrack. Feast of First Fruits is a backtrack. You know, because I know where you're going. You're saying it has to happen after that 7 days. But this is going back. How do we know it's going back? Because it says after the Sabbath of the week of Passover on First Fruits. Okay?
And Passover could have been any day of the week.
Yes. Yes.
But Sabbath is always.
And Passover, because it's so linked to unleavened bread, it continues actually for an 8-day time period. Okay, you've got Passover and you have 7 days of unleavened bread, but you have a combination of with those 8 days. So that's why it can be after the Sabbath, which is Sunday of Passover week.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's always on the Sunday.
Yes. Yes.
The first fruits is always on a Sunday.
Sunday, yes. Yeah, and that's
regardless of when Passover is.
Right, right,
because
right.
There's a Sabbath between Passover and First Fruits.
Right, right. It's handy for the church that Passover, I mean, on First Fruits is always Sunday, but the church doesn't know that it's the Feast of First Fruits that Jesus rose from dead on. Lori, were you going to say something?
No, I'm good.
Okay.
It's always the next day after Passover.
No. The unleavened bread is the day after Passover. Okay? First fruits, okay, look at your handout because I might have put in there. Yes, I did. 1 Corinthians 15:20-23.
Okay.
Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep, of those who have died. Then just drop down to the end. Christ the first fruits. Afterward, those who are Christ's at his coming. So this is talking about the resurrection of Jesus. He is our first fruits. And I think it's just amazing. It's of God that Jesus rose from the dead on the Jewish Feast of First Fruits. He was crucified on the Jewish Feast of Passover. And he was put in an empty tomb, not defiled, separated from sin, sinless. On the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Jewish feast.
So the Jewish people that you spoke to in synagogue about, or church about that, if you said Shavuot, they would have understood, which is the giving of the Torah. And similar to, and that's when, isn't it?
No, Feast of Weeks is Shavuot. Oh, no, Feast of Weeks is, wait a minute.
Shavuot is giving of the Torah.
Torah.
Which is in line with Feast of First Fruits.
Oh, are you saying Shavuot?
Yes.
Okay, but
Shavuot.
That's weeks. That's the Feast of Weeks. Shavuot means weeks.
Pentecost.
Yeah, that and that's Pentecost. Yeah.
So the giving of the Torah and the Feast of First Fruits aren't aligned?
No. Mm-mm. Now maybe the rabbis have said that, but I don't think that they would have.
It's the harvest.
Oh, it's a harvest, and that's the barley harvest.
Yeah.
The Feast of Shavuot is the wheat harvest. Yeah. So they're two separate harvests, and they're 50 days apart.
And why was it a wave offering?
Many times, my understanding is many times the wave offering, it was waved in all different directions, up, down, right, and left. To acknowledge God's presence is everywhere.
Okay.
So,
just a quick, you have a wonderful handout on this, on the feast that you've given to a class or big class. I don't know if you.
But I didn't want to do that today.
Yeah.
This was going to be 5 minutes.
But also the tripod they have in the bookstore that. It's so helpful.
Yeah.
It's a handy.
Isn't it Rose? Isn't the publisher Rose or something as the last name?
I don't know. I bought a book too.
Bob has
like that.
Rose Publishing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
They want a little racket, though.
Yeah.
Oh, they have a racket?
A rack.
I'm only kidding. I knew it. That's what you said.
I got both of these, and they're really helpful.
So, okay, we ain't going to go anyplace other than the feasts now. I have my lessons set. Oh, and I'm so excited about it. Well, and you should read this. You should read this particular handout because it goes into why there are many interpretations of Scripture, even in the evangelical church. Okay?
We can start at the third paragraph next week, Kathy.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Oh, I'm going to. Oh, I'm not going to go back to the feasts next week. Believe me. But there's a timeline, and we really need to be primed to understand when we go back to reading the very first handout and all those verses that I wrote down from, or referenced anyway, from the Old Testament, the Hebrew Scriptures about the resurrection, that you might run into some people on campus even who very much disagree with you. Okay, very much so. Mm-hmm. And yep. And there's a reason for that. Mm-hmm. And there's a timeline with the church fathers and what was taught. And there's more that I have to share about that in how to understand Scripture. And I don't. Never mind. Okay. Over and out. Wait a minute. I'm stopping it.